Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead were they engraved in rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 57. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel for the resurrection of our Lord from the Gospel of St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were there, saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess together the Christian faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward.
Thank you. forgiving. Alleluia. Jesus is living. Alleluia. The risen, he sets us free.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father, what great good news we have heard this morning. Our Savior has beaten death in the grave and lives this day to give us hope and promise and forgiveness and peace. Strengthen us now in the bold proclamation of your word and our Savior's resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen. Has anyone ever called you Job? You're visiting with them, you're talking about the things that are going on in your life, and it's all a mess. And they just look at you and they say, "Boy, what did you do? You're like Job." And you know what that means. You know your life is a mess. Gloom, despair, and agony on me would be a step up from where you are. Broken and hurting. And wondering what's next. That's where Job was. It was just a matter of hours, and everything that Job loved was gone. All of his animals stolen by foreign raiders, his land taken away, his family, his children killed. And then later, Job's health began to fall apart. Nothing good here in this story. Job and everything that he had seemed to be taken away, and he was left with nothing. And to make it worse, when his friends gathered around him, they accused Job. "This is all your fault, Job. There is some sin here you're not confessing. Confess it, and then all of this will go away." And despite all of that, in the midst of all of that brokenness and everything gone, Job said this: "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my own eyes shall behold him and not another. My heart faints within me." That, my friends, is Easter joy. In the midst of all of the suffering, in the midst of Job being broken, in the midst of Job not knowing what the future would hold, Job had joy. Job had peace. Job knew that God's promised Messiah and Savior and Redeemer would take him from this world of suffering and raise him again. Job knew that his body, after it had died, would be raised, and he would see the risen Christ with his own two eyes. Job knew, even though St. John hadn't written Revelation yet, Job knew that there would be no crying, no pain, no suffering, no dying, because there would be no more death. Job knew those things. Today, the day that we celebrate, the events that we celebrate today, Christ rising from the dead, this is what Job hoped for and what Job hoped in. The Old Testament messianic promises were all fulfilled. The serpent's head was crushed when the nails went through Jesus' feet and he gave up his life and forgave all of your sins. That perfect blood sacrifice there on the cross for you and for Job and for all people, as his perfect and holy blood was shed there for you. Job knew the promises of God, and he trusted in them. No matter what the outside circumstances of the world around him said, no matter what his emotions said, no matter what his friends said, Job trusted in the promises that God would send a Redeemer, and that one day Job knew he would see that Redeemer with his own eyes. Job knew that the righteous branch of the stump of Jesse is the sinless Lamb of God who would lay down his life for Job and for all of us. Jesus' body would rest in the grave, making every Christian grave a place where we wait in hope for our bodies to be raised. We wait just like Job so that we can say the same thing that he did. I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end, when my body is in the grave and cold, it waits and it rests, and one day Jesus will call us out of that grave and we will see him. With your own eyes, we will see what we celebrate today. By one simple statement from the cross, Jesus' life comes to completion. Tetelestai, it is finished. And your salvation was accomplished. The perfect life of Jesus covers all of your sin and forgives you. He gives up his spirit. His work is done. Your future is secured. Job believed all of these things. And they happened centuries after Job was dead. And they're still true today. Because of today. Today, we hear Job's words. And today, we confess the very reason that Job had this hope. Christ is risen. That reading from Job comes up at times that usually aren't this joyful. That reading from Job is usually at a funeral, when we are broken and we're mourning the loss of one that we love that's not with us anymore. Right there in the midst of our sorrow and in the midst of our grief is the hope and promise of a Savior who rose from the dead, who beat death, who beat every single enemy, and lives today to give you hope in spite of the way the world treats you and in spite of all the things that are going on in your life. Those who die in faith will rise because Jesus rose. Because when he rose on that first Easter morning, he made a promise that those who die in faith, death can hold no more, and they will rise like Jesus rose. Sin, death, and hell have been defeated, and that victory has been given to us and to all who believe. Christ is risen from the dead this day, and that gives us hope in the midst of all things. If you think this Easter hope is only a distant promise, something that you'll pick up again on that last hour of your life, or something that God will give to you once you're dead, and you can live your life now trying to figure it out on your own, you're sadly mistaken. The hope that we have this day is not a future distant hope only. It's a today hope. It's a hope for you in a broken and a busted world. It's a hope for you when gloom, despair, and agony are all you see. Because this hope does not change. And this hope does not go away. Easter hope, sins forgiven hope, resurrection hope, that's hope for every day. It's for every trial. It's for every temptation. It's for every bout of suffering that you go through and can't see the end of. Just look at the people in the gospel reading for today. The ladies got up early in the morning, dutiful, going back to fulfill the task that they needed to do. And right away, what are they doing? They're worrying about how we're going to get it done. Who's going to move the stone? How will we get in to finish the job? How will this happen? Worry and anxiety and all of those things following over them. And when they get to the tomb, what has happened? Christ has already done it. He's already taken care of it. All of the things that they've worried about, all of the times that they've spent in agony and worry and anxiety, Christ is already done with. He's already dealt with it. Jesus did what they couldn't do so that they would have Easter joy that day. The stone was already moved. What they worried about, what they fretted about, what they had anxiety about, never came to be. Because Christ knew them and gave them that Easter joy that day. That is everyday joy that we have in Christ. Jesus rising from the dead, joy for us for every day. Worry, fear, anxiety, as tightly as they try to constrict us and push aside our hope, those things are not more powerful than a Savior who walked out of death's grasp and lives today. Christ is risen. And that is every day, Jesus rising from the dead, joy for you. Peter and John went to the tomb. They saw the grave, they saw it was empty, but they didn't understand. They didn't know, even though Jesus had told them that he would be crucified, that he would die, that he would rise again on the third day, it still made no sense to them. And they went home. And the joy of Easter Day came to them. You see, we don't have to go looking for Jesus. We don't have to go pursuing some place to find Jesus. He comes to us. He rises from the dead and comes to us this day with Easter hope, with joy for you. He comes to the disciples as they're gathered in the room and they don't understand it. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And he continues to teach them. And by his Holy Spirit, they began to understand what this great celebration means. Christ is risen means that this is every day, Jesus rising from the dead day, peace for you. The more we dive into God's word, the more questions we have, the more we end up being like the disciples, not understanding everything. But even in the midst of our questions, even in the midst of the big gaps where we don't understand, the promises of Christ remain. Christ is risen. And that's joy and hope and peace for you, even when you don't understand what's going on. Peter denied Jesus to the crowds. Jesus came to him and forgave him. Peter had just denied that he knew Jesus in front of all of the crowds, and instead of Jesus standing before him and damning him for his denial, Jesus comes to him and reinstates him and forgives him and continues to use him to teach and preach about this glorious day Christ is risen from the dead. That's the hope that we have. That even when we have lived our lives and have not confessed Christ as we should or denied him outright, we come to our Savior, we confess our sins, and our Savior forgives us and reinstates us and continues to strengthen us. That is every day Jesus rising from the dead joy. And don't forget Thomas. We can't leave him out either. Thomas was far past unbelieving. Thomas was far past doubting. He was unbelieving, not believing. And as Thomas is there, and I'm sure the disciples tried to convince him, he stands before the risen Christ, or before the disciples first, and he says, "I will not believe unless I put my hand in his hands and feel his side." And when Jesus stands in front of Thomas, he doesn't damn him. He doesn't shake his finger at him. He doesn't say, "Oh, Thomas, you really blew it." He takes Thomas right where he is, right where he is in his unbelief, and he says, "Thomas, put your hand here. Put your hand in my side. Stop your unbelieving and believe." And he did. The word of God, the word of Jesus right there to Thomas, drew him out of his unbelief that he believed and could see with his own eyes that his Savior was standing in front of him. That is every day Jesus rising from the dead, joy for you. The forgiveness of sins that Jesus accomplished for us is so powerful that Friday when Jesus breathed his last and gave up his spirit, the cemeteries that were close by were emptied. 500 people that were dead rose to life and began parading through the town. That should tell you something great and powerful went on. That Jesus kept his promise. That he rose from the dead and defeated every single enemy that we have, including death. And he's given that hope and that promise to you. Dear saints, this Easter joy is yours. It's yours on that day when you breathe your last and your Savior will be waiting there to take you from the dead and raise you to be with him. But it's yours today and every single day of your life, because this Savior, our Savior, has risen for you. He's forgiven all of your sins, and he promises to walk with you every single day of your life, no matter what the world throws at you. And somewhere in your life, somewhere in your future, if someone says to you, man, your life is a lot like Job's, I pray that you say this: I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the end he will stand upon the earth and he will raise me. And with these eyes, I will see him, because Christ is risen. Amen. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.